certainly is a blessing to be back again with you today. Early on, I had a mind to finish up what I started last time I was here, but my mind has shifted from that subject to the subject of fellowship. And what is fellowship? Fellowship is the common bond that we all have. Now, we know that we all have some things in common in various categories. At the very base of levels, we're all sinners. We all have that in common. That's not a good thing, but we all share in that commonality association. We all need to breathe. We all need to eat. There's various ways that you could categorize people. We all have a commonality because we're all citizens of America. We're Americans. And it doesn't matter what race or creed or color or religion you are, we all share in that common union of being Americans. And we can rally around that, can't we? There's a lot of different groups that there are. The AMA, people that are members of the American Medical Association, they have all things medical as their common interest. You've got all different kinds of groups. You know, I'm used to be a member of the Wild Turkey Federation. So, and then everybody that's a member of that has wild turkeys as their common interest and common goal. Y'all get the point. There's a lot of things that people have as in common, and they share in those interests together. Now, they have the same goal. All these groups have the same goal, and they have the same interest. Now, you know, even you've heard the term shop local, haven't you? And the reason why that's such a big push today is because when you don't shop local, you're benefiting a large conglomerate that doesn't probably share the same interests that you have. You know, we're all Americans, but we all live in different parts of the country, don't we? And like the interest of the community here is probably not the interest of Nashville. And certainly not the same interest as they have in New York or Los Angeles. So you see, the farther down it goes, or the more local it gets, the differences are vast from the whole, aren't they? So you can see that in the realm of religion. Let me say Christianity. You have some points that you can, and commonality with all of Christianity, because most all of Christianity believes that Mary had a son. Most all of Christianity believes that that son died on a cross. Most all of Christianity believed that not just Mary had a son, but that was God's son. And most all of Christianity believes, and there are some that don't, I don't know why they would believe this, but most all of Christianity, a good portion, let me say, of Christianity believes that that son was resurrected. Now, if you're a Christian or follower of Christ, then you have that understanding in common. But the farther you go down the line and get more local, the differences within Christianity are vast, and the common interest split. That's why you have so many denominations. Because the interest of the Catholic or the Presbyterian or the Methodist or the Church of Christ, or, you know, they all separate fellowship at some point. At some point, they all say, I can't go with that. I got to go with this. So you have denominations. My friends, it was not that way. It was not intended to be that way by Jesus Christ, the head of His church. Amen. It was not intended to be that way. So we all have a commonality and we all share in common interest as a church. And, you know, Jesus called it my church. It wasn't the church of the church of the Catholics or the church of the Presbyterians or the church of the Methodists or the church of the Primitive Baptists. It was my church, he said. Mine. That means she's his possession. Now, she still is his possession. But the commonalities and the common interests and the common goals depend on what you believe about Christ. You know, that's where the separation is. You're not going to separate Christ from His church based on what you believe or based on what you think or based on what you practice. So, this Christians, I want to say a word about that. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And that term probably was given by the enemies of Christ to His followers. Likely given to followers of Christ by their enemies as a way to lump them all together. Now, you aren't a Christian if you don't follow Christ. You can't claim that. Believing Christ is not enough for you to be a Christian. Is that harsh? If I say that I'm a follower of Christ and don't do it, am I really one? Food for thought. Food for thought. I'm getting a little bit off my subject, but not much. Now, fellowship. Fellows in the ship is where that means, is really where that word came from. Fellows in the ship. Now I want you to imagine one of those big Viking ships that, or any kind of ship that has oars and people to row in it. Now I want you to imagine one side going forward and the other side rowing the opposite direction. What are you going to do? You're going to spin. What happens if half the people in the back are going forward and half the people in the front are going backwards? What are you going to do? You're going to sit there still. And you're going to be fighting against one another for the, you know, the ones in the back are going to go, row, row. And the ones in the front are going to go, row, row. And it don't matter how hard, and the one or the half that rows the hardest, that's the direction it's going to go. And the other people are struggling the whole time. So fellowship, that's not really fellowship, is it? Because the destination of that boat is not to stand still. It's not to sit there and spin. It's for the common, the destination is the common goal of that ship, isn't it? It's to get to the other side or wherever the destination is. I mean, of the lake or river or sea or whatever it is. So if you're rowing all together in unison, and let me ask you this, or let me tell you this. Do you think the boat is going to get fast if everybody has an oar and only one or two are doing the rowing? It's just plain stuff, isn't it? When you put it in those terms, it's kind of plain. Everybody that's in the ship has an oar and needs to have it in the water and all rowing in the same direction. That just makes sense, don't it? Because fellows in the ship have a common goal and a common interest. Now, there's really no room for folks to be in the ship without an oar. And if you're just standing on the beach watching the ship, you're really just a spectator. Is that too harsh? Now, there's scripture for all this. Did y'all know we're having communion today? Praise the Lord. And that's kind of what got my mind on it. Communion, do y'all know that the word communion only appears 4 times in the whole Bible? 4 times. The word translated communion. I mean, when the word actual word communion, only 4 times. Did you know that that word, same word that koinonia, where communion is translated from, that word koinonia is translated fellowship 14 times. So when you look at fellowship and communion, it's the same exact word. The same exact word all throughout. I mean, there's other words that koinonia is translated into, like communication, giving to the saints and ministering to the saints. Like when they gave money to Paul and they wanted to distribute, distribution, that's what the word I'm thinking, distribution, same word, koinonia. Now, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now this portion of scripture here is where we get the association of the service called communion. The Lord never called it communion. But this is where we get the association with that service that Jesus instituted in the upper room. This is how we know that that's what this is called from this scripture right here. The other places really don't talk about taking bread that said communion. Really don't talk about taking bread. This is it. And so what does that mean? That means that this service that we're talking about is fellowship with each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have identified yourself with Him, then and you are fellows in the ship, not on the bank, watching. If you're fellows in the ship, rowing in the same direction, with the same force and the same fervency together, then and you are a partaker of that one bread and that cup of blessing, then you are part. You have a part and lot in the matter. You've declared that you have a part and lot in the matter publicly. And you are doing that as a local body. As a local body. Y'all, I can't tell you how intimate this service is. When we think of intimacy, we think of privacy. We think of to be enjoyed by people that have the same common values, the same common goal, and the same common interests. That is one reason, probably the largest reason, why primitive Baptists practiced close communion or closed communion, depending on how you define your terms. Close communion meaning other people that are in attendance, that are members of another primitive Baptist church that has the same common goals, same common interest, and same love for the Lord and same understanding of what the Lord did for them. Now, Paul says, wherefore my... That was too far back. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which offered to sacrifice in sacrifice to idols is anything? Y'all see what Paul's dealing with here, don't you? Paul is saying, if you are a partaker, and he's using the Jews as an example. He's saying those priests that take the offering and put it on the altar, they're involved in that service. They're involved in it. And then they eat of it. And if you eat of something, you're a partaker in it. And Paul is saying, and he's going to introduce this based on this principle, the reason why we ought not to be a partaker of the cup of blessing at the same time that we partake in idolatry or idolatrous practices. Jesus used this same principle. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Why? Because they're inconsistent. The goals are not the same. The interest of the kingdom of God is not the same interest as the kingdom of the world, is it? It's not. So, Paul says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. I tell you, brethren and sisters, if I think that a lot of people think that they can come to church in ribbons and curls and in their bow tie and Sunday best on Sunday and have fellowship with God on Sunday and then put God in a box and live however they want to and be a partaker in the world Monday through Saturday night, and then put on the ribbons and curls and their Sunday best on Sunday and show up smiling. I'm a partaker, but what you are a partaker in is you're trying to serve both. Paul said, you can't have fellowship. He said, I would not that you have fellowship with devils. Paul's saying, look, an idol's nothing because they have no life. An idol has no breath. An idol has no authority nor power. So it's nothing. And Paul says, we'll say later, it might be lawful to eat things, but it's not expedient. It's not going to do you any good. It's not going to, eating something that's offered to an idol is not going to send you to hell, and not eating it is not going to get you to heaven. It's nothing. But Paul said, why would you be a partaker in something like that? Really, what Paul is talking about is being a disciple. Paul's talking about being a Christian in the true sense of the word, a follower of Christ. Now, Paul says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 14, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, koinonia, that's the Greek word, what fellowship or communion hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, same word, hath light with darkness? Y'all see that? If you are a partaker of the blood and body of Jesus Christ, if He represented you, if He authored faith in you, and He put it in your mind and put it in your heart, what fellowship does that have with darkness? None at all. None at all. What fellowship does lies have with truth? None. What fellowship does God have with Satan? None. They don't share the same common interest. They don't share the same common goals. Kingdom of God does not operate on the basis of the kingdoms of the world and vice versa. Now, let's turn over to John, 1 John, I'm sorry, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, John starts out, which we have heard. We're talking about senses now. He said, I heard it. We heard it in our ears, which we have seen with our eyes. He saw it with his eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. That's three of the five senses, isn't it? And David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste with your mouth. The only one left is smelling, isn't it? Sacrifices are a sweet savor, sweet smelling savor to God. And it's sweet to me when I smell in a figure the sacrifices of God's people to Him. It's sweet to me. which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Listen to this. That ye also may have fellowship with us. I want us to think about this here. How many churches have conformed to the world that they might get people in no matter what condition they're in so that they might have fellowship with the world? John is not saying that we are going to take whatever we have a common interest in and make it your common interest so that we can have fellowship with you. John says that our common interest is Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And if you want to have fellowship with that, then you come on and fellowship with us. Get in the boat, grab an oar, and start rowing in the same direction for that common goal that we have in Jesus Christ. It burns my biscuit. I'm country. It burns my biscuit when I see churches conforming to the world and opening up their fellowship or common interest with the world. That you have lost your identity in Jesus Christ if you're doing that as a church. And I'm talking to all of Christianity. If your fellowship is with the world, then you have tainted the fellowship you have in Jesus Christ. Because, again, what fellowship does light have with darkness? None at all. None at all. And if you belong to a church, you're a member of a church that has fellowship with the world, get out and find one that has fellowship in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, and I'll say this. Y'all remember back over in Hebrews? This is it. Hebrews chapter 12. No, 11. And 9. Talking about, we'll start with 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What is that? That's fellowship. That, you see what the Spirit led Paul to write in Hebrews 11 right here? He was saying that all these people that were heirs of the same promise dwelt together. They dwelt together. They weren't separate. They didn't I don't know if I want to be part of that. I'm going to pitch my tent way over in Sodom like Lot did. And you know what Lot did? He vexed his righteous soul daily. It didn't say they vexed it. It says he had his righteous soul vexed daily. He was vexed because he was in amongst them. He didn't come out, but the commandment of God is to come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out and come on and join the church, really, is what that means. Have fellowship with us, with this body right here. Have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and dwell in tents with others that have the same promise. That's good stuff to me. I don't want to dwell alone. I'm not dwelling alone. I'm dwelling with other heirs of the same promise. And the same promise that we all have in common, that all of God's children have in common, is that He saved them. But I want to be among a people and dwell among a people that the redeemed of the Lord say so. I want to be among a people that believes and knows the truth of the matter, that Jesus Christ gets all the glory and we get none. That's who I want to be around. I want to be around people that openly confess that they're strangers and pilgrims in this land, and that they're sojourning in a strange country, but that we're looking for a city. I want to dwell among people that know that they're sinners. I want to dwell among a people that rejoices in that, not only not rejoicing in their sin, but rejoicing that they have a Savior that redeemed them from their sins, that bought them and paid the price for them. I want to be among a people that loves to worship that God that loves them. I want to be a part of that people. Don't you? Well, why would you not? That love is so amazing. Why would you not want to shout for glory because He loved you? Why would you not? Why would you not want to dwell among people that have that same common interest and common understanding? Boy, I tell you what. God's good, isn't He? He's good that He gave us a place to come and sojourn together. He's so good. How much does He love you? How much does He care for you? Well, I tell you what, being unequally yoked, that's a burden. Y'all ever get that picture? Y'all ever get that picture of what a yoke is? Y'all are country folks. Y'all know what a yoke is. Colt, do you know what a yoke is? All right. He's the youngest one in here, and he knows what a yoke is. We're not talking about an egg yolk. We're talking about a yoke that is a harness that's put on two oxen. Y'all have seen them? The little ox yoke that looks like a little M, and they put it and they bind them together. They're bound by this yoke. And if you've got one ox that looks like me, say me and Colt were yoked up together, put us in a yoke, and we were pulling a plow, who'd be doing more work? Probably so. It'd probably be Colt. But it would be an unequal yoke because I'm taller than he is. It'd be an unequal yoke because I've got my legs are longer. He'd just be running probably to keep up with me. And I tell you what, being yoked up with Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus talked about yokes too, didn't he? He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden's light." That's the kind of yoke I want to be yoked up with. I want to be yoked. I don't want to sit out and rowing in my own boat by my own self, wandering aimlessly. That's where I'd be if I was by myself. But I want y'all to know, when you yoke up unequally with an unbeliever, what happens? Your interests are one way, and their interests are another. If you don't have a common goal and a common interest, then you're unequally yoked, that you want to go one way and this other one wants to go this way. And what's that going to do? Neither one of you are going to get to the destination that you desire. Unless one's stronger than the other one, and you get bound up with him, and you try to, if Colt, now I love you, Brother Colt, but I'm stronger than you are, at least today. And I told Drew one time, I said, he kind of bowed up on me one day, and I let him know real quick. I said, son, there's going to come a day when you're stronger than me. I said, but today ain't that day. But if I wanted to go one way and Colt wanted to go another, and we were yoked up together, and he was constantly, y'all know how a dog does when he's got a leash and you want him to go over here and he don't, what do? They will choke themselves and pull against. Y'all seen them do it, hadn't you? My friends, what happens when you're yoked up unequally? One partner, and probably both, are going to be, they're going to rub their necks raw. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why is his burden, why is it easy? It's because when you yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going the same direction that he is, you're not going to be pulling against him. You're going to have the same common interest and you're going to walk with him. And he said, my burden's light. Why is it light? It's because he's bigger than you are. He's stronger than you are. And he's carrying the burden. He's carrying the burden. That's good stuff to me. I want to be yoked up with Jesus. I want to be yoked up with people that are yoked up with Jesus. I want to be yoked up with people that have the same common interest and common goals. Now let's keep reading in John. John says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship, koinonia, our communion, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know why John said that? I think because John already understood it, and his joy was full already. He says, I'm writing these things that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He said, we're not doing truth. He didn't say you didn't know truth. He said, you're not doing it. If you say you're walking the light, then you're walking in darkness. Because, you know, Jesus said, happy are ye if ye do these things. Not happy are ye if ye know them. What's more important, knowing to do good or doing it? Doing it. That was a no-brainer, y'all. Y'all should have got that. It's not good enough to the Lord for you to know to do good. It's good to Him. It's pleasurable. It's agreeable to Him when you know to do good and you do it. Because really, he's going to go on and talk about deception here. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Wait a minute, Brother Paul. I thought Jesus' blood justified us. It did. I thought Jesus' blood and sacrifice paid for our sins. It did. But would it be clean? Would you be clean in your own mind if he did that and you snubbed your nose at it and did not the truth and walked in unrighteousness? Would you feel clean? You would be clean in the mind and purpose of God, but not in your own, because you are acting inconsistently in your actions with that which God authored in your mind. And your conscience bothers you. You know, God gave us a conscience for a reason. He gave you that set of values for a reason. When he authored it in your mind and put it in your heart, he gave you a conscience that says, I'm not doing right. I need to do right. And if you don't do right, it'll tear you up. Have y'all not found it to be so in your life? When God told me to do stuff and I didn't do it, it tore me up. It still does. Still does. Because I'm not acting consistent with that which he put in my heart and in my mind. So, in effect, I'm trying to pull against the Lord in that yoke. And you know what happens when you do that? When God's telling you to go one way, and you're pulling just like that dog on a leash that don't want to go where you're taking him, you're getting there anyway. He's taking you anyway. But what happens to your neck? It gets raw. It hurts when you pull against God's leadership and yoke. It'd be a whole lot easier just to take it on. And he said, my yoke is easy. It's not easy if you pull against it, but it's easy when you go with it. And my burden's light. But it's going to be a heavy burden if you don't go with him. If you aren't walking in the same direction as he is. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, I talk to people a lot that struggle. They struggle with understanding. To know whether they're really born again or not. And I said, first of all, the struggle, the very fact that you have a struggle is a great indication that you are. That you even care about it is a great indication that you already are. But I tell you what, a lot of people have a hard time understanding this or having their conscience be clean, really. And it all has to do with trusting in his blood. Trusting, having faith in his blood. Now, I want to be clear. Y'all know God authors faith. I mean, you don't just go out and get it. But when you exercise it, that exercising is consistent with what God puts in your mind and in your heart. And that's really what we're talking about here, is acting consistent with the commandment that God put in your mind and in your heart. If you're bucking against it, it's going to be tough. You're going to live a tough life. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, I don't know if I told y'all this. I had an experience one time at the Cades Cove Primitive Baptist Church. They had the graveyard out there. And we were there on vacation. I was visiting, and I was walking out of the church and walked out in the cemetery. There's a bunch of people there, or a lot. And this lady came up to me, and she said, are you a Christian? And I said, well, I hope my actions would declare it. And she said, I used to be a sinner. And y'all think I'm pretty raw now? I surprised myself that I showed some restraint that day. And I said, or I thought in my mind, well, you just messed it up because you lied. And I thought in my mind, well, if you're not a sinner, you must not be going to die. But she was deceived by what they had been teaching her at the church that she was yoked up with and had fellowship with. Apparently, they had been teaching her that you can live a sinless life after you're born again or did whatever she had to do to get that, which we all know that that comes from the power of God. You talk about, you know, does the truth matter? It does. The truth matters. And he said, if you deceive you and the truth is not in you, was the truth in her? I mean, God put that in her mind or she wouldn't have wanted to follow him. But was the truth really in her? Not mixed with a lie? No. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tell you what, if you're acting inconsistent with what God put in your heart and in your mind, I'll tell you the only way for you to get rid of that is to confess your sins. You don't have to confess them to me. I'm not the mediator between you and God. You confess those to God. You confess them to God. Don't have to go to a priest somewhere. You have a great high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. You confess them to him. He'll take it to God and your conscience will be cleared. It'll make you feel better. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And he starts out the next verse. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And he says this next. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That you have an advocate. That's a whole nother sermon. I want to finish up in Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and there is, if any comfort of love, and there is, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know how important unity is? I mean, the name of the church is Union Primitive Baptist Church. Y'all know how important unity is? Well, I would point you to the Trinity. Because there's unity in the Trinity, isn't there? If you want to know how to be unified one another without any division, look to Jesus Christ. Look to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, because they have never and cannot do anything that's inconsistent with each other. This word is not going to tell you to do anything that's inconsistent with His will. This word, like, just real quick, I'll tell you this. I know of a minister that used to work at a plant, and he had a friend that they worked together, and he was the minister of music at another order of people that were very strong on how the Spirit moves. And he said, the Spirit is leading me to leave my wife and marry the piano player. And my preacher friend said, that's a spirit telling you to do that. But that ain't the Spirit of God telling you to do that. The Spirit of God is never going to tell you to do something inconsistent with this word. This word is not going to, and vice versa. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are unified in everything they do. And if you want to see about and talk about no divisions and unity, He calls us to be unified, not only as a people, but as a local body of believers. That doesn't mean everybody's going to always have the same mind about something. But friends, I know people, I know churches that have been split over the color of the carpet. Split over pews. Split over chairs, Brother Patrick. Which chairs should we get? I know people that have left churches and split them and gone off and made their own church because their goals weren't the same. My friends, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be unified in purpose and goal every time, for all time. Now he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You want to know that one of the first step in unity is in fellowship? Consider everybody else better than you, because that's the mind of Christ, isn't it? Didn't He leave the portals of glory in heaven itself to be shrouded in a body of flesh without sin and die the cruel sufferings of the cross with your sins laid upon Him who knew no sin, that He should taste death for you? And if you have that mind, the doors of the church are open. And if you want to have fellowship with that and fellowship with us in this church, this local body, you may come and present yourself and declare that you want to dwell in this tent with the heirs of the same promise. We're about to enter into the communion service, and we want to invite all those that are of like faith and practice as Union Primitive Baptist Church. If you are a member of a sister church, we invite you to come and partake in the fellowship in communion with us. And we, if you're not a member, we welcome you to stay, but we'd love for you to be a member. But we would love for you to stay and observe this most sacred service of fellowship that the Lord instituted as an ordinance to His church. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Y'all want to sing a song first?
Did you go straight into the... Did you do an intermission between?
Yeah, I'm going to wash my hands and okay. Stuff like that.
We'll sing number 154. Strike the right hand of fellowship with Brother Paul, and have a short intermission before we have communion service. 154.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found.
God bless you, Sister Jean.
That was wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
I can't say how much it helped me.
Oh, God bless you, Sister. God bless you, Brother Bruce. Good to see you.
Please come back.
Amen. God bless you, Brother.
Appreciate that so much.
God bless you, Brother.
Well,
praise the Lord. You too. God bless you. God bless you, Brother John. Our prayer. God bless you. Justin. God bless you, Brother. God bless you, Sister Nanny. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see y'all today. God bless you, Billy. God bless you, Brother. Many days. God bless you, Sister Edna. God bless you, Brother Cole. God bless you, Brother.
Have already come. His grace has brought me safe.
God bless you, dear sister. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Grace will lead me home when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Brother Date, would you dismiss us for or ask the prayer, say the prayer, and we'll have a little intermission to go to the bathroom, and I'm going to wash my hands, and then we'll start.
Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, I bow before you, Lord, thankful for this able minister that you send before us, Lord, to teach us in thy word, and may this be placed upon our hearts, Lord, that we might dwell on it day by day, to yoke ourselves together, Lord, in one accord, to thy great glory and thy praise.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, and we praise thy holy name. For it's in the name of Jesus we come. Amen.
Amen.
Elizabeth had been here, and Tristan. She's going on. She is real close with her mother and her sister, so they're flying to a beach somewhere today.
Oh, really?
Little vacation.
Yeah, well.
But it was a great sermon. I bet she'll listen to it. She listens to our sermon.
Okay. Well, good. Oh, thank you, brother. Brother Patrick, when y'all pass the bread and the wine, which y'all's custom, do you have one person deliver it to the men and one to the women?
And so we typically just will get it and we'll walk one around and just like the bread and let everybody. But I mean, we could do, if there are two up there, then we could split. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, no, like I didn't know if you just had one to deliver to the men and one to the women at the same time.
We typically have one tray, one same person goes.
Okay.
It starts with the
and
women,
does it all.
And
okay.
Usually all sit in this kind of U shape.
Right.
And so then we'll just go and go around with the bread and then around with the wine.
Okay.
And then same thing, Colt and I sometimes will then distribute the bowls and the towels.
Good.
But if there's a better way, you can.
No, that's fine.
I built a pool house this week. I'm going to roof it this week. I'm working twice as hard as I did when I worked.
Yeah, retirement has its downfall, but that's all right.
Had fun.
Good old Steve, I love Steve.
Yeah.
Steve and Mustache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just
great mechanic. Got a nice houseboat. I mean, it's the Sunset Grill, and it's a. I mean, it's got full living space there.
Oh wow!
And it rarely gets it out, but it's.
Yeah.
Overhauling the plumbing on it lately. But
okay.
They took us out 1/4 of July that we weren't doing enough.
I forgot to turn that on.